apologize. I did not get it to Brother Smith. But we are going to Genesis chapter number 37. I did send out a text here this morning, as we do every Sunday. If you are a guest here today and you want to be on that list, we send out a text every Sunday morning. Gives you kind of what we're preaching about, any special occasions. We got special speakers. That's our way of communicating with the whole church body. If you get my wife or on your visitor card, if you get your phone number or cell number on that card, we will get you on that list. If you don't have a cell phone, let us know, and we can make other arrangements to make a regular phone call. Genesis chapter number 37, starting at verse number 5. Genesis chapter number 37, verse number 5. The only problem with the crowd being on my right is it's hard to see the overhead on the right side because it's on the left. Amen. So Genesis chapter 37, verse number 5 says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, they hated him yet the more. And he said to them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheave. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. He dreamed yet another dream. He told his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come bow down ourselves to thee in the earth? And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying." I want to preach just for a little while on a very simple topic. Dare to dream again. Dare to dream again. Can we ask the Lord to help us? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity here as brothers and sisters to study your word and delve into the word, God. But today I'm asking you to help my spirit and my mind. You know what you put into my spirit. You know exactly what you've challenged me with. And I'm asking you to help me to impart something into this wonderful group of believers here today that will provoke them and challenge them and cause them to dream one more time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you are dreamers? How many of you have a tendency at night to dream a lot? I'm one of those. I don't particularly like dreams, only because I can't control the dream, and I don't know what the dream is going to be, and I can't control the outcome of the dream. I'm not one of those that likes adventure very much. So dreaming to me is I'd just soon have just a good quiet night's sleep. But a lot of people have dreams. They say dreams are not unique to us as a society, but dreams are something that's been around for a long time. The dreams are something that they have tried to study and figure out what causes people to dream. Now, this is not a medical class today, but let's delve in just a little bit on what some of the theories are out there and some of the causes of dreams. They say oftentimes it's our sleep habits sometimes will cause our dreaming. It's the lack of sleep sometimes, and sometimes it's too much sleep. Sometimes it's insomnia, sometimes it's depression, sometimes it's medicine that we've taken. Sometimes we've got too much going on in our mind, and we lay down, and our mind doesn't. It just keeps on going. Anybody ever been there before? It happens a lot, and sometimes you can't stop it, you can't control it, it's just there. But a lot of people put a lot of faith sometimes into their dreams. A lot of people want to put into circumstances that sometimes it was just too much pizza and pop the night before, and it really has nothing to do with God or spiritual. It's just too much. But there are sometimes God gives us dreams. Now, there is a difference between a dream and a vision. A vision oftentimes is something that you can see. You can fathom it. It's something that God has given you. Paul ran into those when at his conversion. He had a vision. He saw something that wasn't really And his everybody else around him may not even saw it, but Paul saw it at that moment, and those things. But a dream is something different. A dream is something that comes in the night that oftentimes is in the subconscious mind. They say it's if you could divide your mind into two separate categories of those thoughts that you have and what you're thinking at the moment, and then there's that underlying subconscious mind that's ever there. It's floating out there. But they say the scholars say that part of your mind is really who you are. The front that you put out in the words and the thoughts and the things that you are with people, interacting with people, sometimes is really not. We can put up, how many knows people can put up a real good facade sometimes. Sure. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. But those dreams sometimes in that subconscious sometimes will be what a person really is on the inward, but not manifested on the outward. And Joseph was one of these guys that he really didn't know how to hide his dreams. Joseph was one of those, if it came to his head, he wanted to tell everybody about it. It was exciting to him. He had had a dream, and he wanted to tell everybody. There's a danger sometimes when God gives you, and I'll be the first to tell you, I believe sometimes God does give people visions. God does give people dreams, and he gives you the capacity to fulfill some of those things. I tell our young people, dream big. Challenge yourself. Push. Be everything you can be. It's hard to see your son get in a pickup truck, load his belongings in, and drive to Indianapolis to no longer live with mom and dad anymore, to go to college because he wants to be a lawyer. And it's hard when you tell him all your life, dream big and do what you want, and just keep God at the forefront of everything you do. And then the day comes when they pack up and they move out, and they're off to the big city and in another church and under the guidance of another pastor. And that's not the easiest thing to swallow. But I believe in challenging ourselves, stretching ourselves, pushing ourselves. But there's a danger in revealing your dreams before they've become reality. And this was one of the challenges that Joseph had. He had this big dream in his mind that God has given him, that he was going to climb the elevator, if you will. He was going to be something in the realm of God, but he didn't know how to portray it. He didn't know how to keep it in the box until it was time to be unwrapped, if you will. He didn't hide the secret very much. The danger in doing that, Joseph found out, is sometimes God has given you a vision to do something, whether it may be starting a business, whether it may be changing jobs, there's lots of different things, but sometimes you need to hold that back until God manifests it into your life, because sometimes our timing and God times don't always mesh into the same thing. We need to hold back and allow God to manifest it. And when the time becomes right, there will be a point that you will step out in faith. And God will let you know that I'm in control of this situation. You don't have to worry about the storm. You don't have to worry about the trouble, because I'm in control. I'm the one that created the storm, and I know how to bring you through the storm. That's the kind of God we serve. But sometimes daring to dream and our dreams become dashed, it can knock us down. Can you imagine what this young man, he was obviously favored by his father. He had kept him home, sent the other ones to the field. He was the one that was daddy's pick, if you will. And he had that the tendencies maybe that the father was looking at to maybe carry out the duty and go on and success in life. And there are individuals within our lives, and sometimes children, sometimes not children, that we take someone under our arm and under our wing, and we nurture them and we guide them, and we want to, if you will, wind them up, and then eventually someday just let them go into life and be what God has called them to be. I've seen this with with young preachers sitting under my father for years. I've seen this with young men that had a calling of God upon their life. And you want to nurture that. You want to harness that. But then there's a point. As a pastor, you've got to be willing to release that and allow God to manifest what he's been preparing in that mind for all of that time. And Joseph was that kind of individual. The Bible said in the scripture reading that before we got to the point where we started, that Joseph was only 17 years old. He was just a young man. In biblical terms, that was actually pretty young. He was not an older man. And in 17, as we know it, it's not correlation to correlation. He was a young lad. And he began to display his dreams out loud. And I find it interesting that God had handpicked him. God had chosen him for a time like this, knowing that there was something coming. It's easy for us to look at the story and say, wow, that's a miracle that God knew way in advance that he was going to have to prepare a Hebrew boy to go into Egypt, and the way he was going to get there was going to be through slavery and through a rejection and through abuse to get there. It just doesn't make sense to us, to him probably, but to us, we see it was the hand of God all along. But it's not easy for us when we stand before someone. I know what it was like when God began to deal with me about this city. I began to talk to my father and my wife and those around me what God was envisioning in my mind. And it was almost disheartening when you have a fellow man of God that he didn't get the call that I got. God didn't call him to Winnemac. He called me. He didn't feel that tug of the heartstring. He doesn't know what that's like to feel that burden every time you drive through the city and tears start streaming down your face because you know there needs to be a church in this county. And he doesn't comprehend that. Why? Because it's not his dream. It's not the thing that God called him to. And it's sometimes it can be frustrating that we prance around and we really want to pour it out of what God is going to do. And there's going to be a miracle. And I did the research of 13,000 people in this county and no United Pentecostal Church. And I began to look at St. Joe County, and there's 7 apostolic churches there. And it just seems like it's saturated with churches all over. But here lies a big, vast area of farm ground that nobody wanted to come in and preach the gospel to. And it began to tug on my heart. It began to frustrate me and say, is anybody going to do anything about this? And God began to knock on my door and said, well, you can talk about it or you can do something about it. And there, here we are some 3 years later as God has given us a beautiful facility and a building next door, and now 2 Sunday school classes going on at the same time. You know what? Before, if I would have told my dad that all this was going to happen in 3 years, I'd have probably got the same chuckle as I did when I said we were going to go to Winnemac. That's not a negative on him. It's just because he didn't understand the dream. It would have been very easy for me as a pastor to go home and pull my head under the covers and say, why don't they believe in my dream? God gave it to me. This is what it's going to be. But nobody understands that, and that can be very frustrating. And Joseph found himself in that. He began to prance his dream before his brothers, and he began to be rejected. And they accused him of being arrogant. They accused him of doing things, being a little snark, going back to tell his dad on his brothers, and they sent him down to a pit. You know, the problem is God gives you a dream. He gives you direction, and you take off down the trail to follow it, and you oftentimes find yourself at the bottom of the bottom, and you think, God, I've done everything right. I didn't ask for the dream, but here I am now, and this doesn't make sense. How did I get down to this place, this lowest point, God, just doing your will? That can be a very frustrating moment in our lives. Many of you look at me here today have been there. You've walked down that trail. You know what that's like. And the difference between all of us here sitting today is some of us come out of that pit and we dared to dream again. And some of us threw in the towel and said, if that's the will of God and it's going to get me to that place and nobody's going to believe it and I'm going to be rejected, then I'm just going to throw in the towel and walk away from everything. But let me challenge your thinking just for a moment. Had Joseph just given up the ghost and said, you know what, fellas, just kill me. I don't want to go any further. Just go ahead and write me off. And just seal me and sign it off and just be done with it. It would have been very easy for him to do that. But might I ask you, where would have the deliverance came when the famine came? What would have happened to the rest of his family if he would have threw in the towel when he didn't dare not to dream again? But sometimes we got to look into our past and realize the handprint of God upon our lives. And the reason some of us are sitting here today is because someone in our family dared to dream again. It's very easy for us as a generation when the onslaught of the world is fighting against Jesus' name believers. They're fighting against the church. They're pushing against anything that has to do with God. It'd be very easy for us in the political world just to say, you know what? The world, this country is going down the tubes. Why bother even praying for it anymore? I'll pray for something that matters. I'll just do something else. I might as well just go be a heathen like everybody else. But let me ask you, what's going to stop the onslaught of the devil from completely taking over this country if there's not a body of believers to stand in the gap to say, you know what, I may not agree with everything in the world, but I still believe that if my God's people will fall on their face, humble themselves, and turn from their wicked ways, God can still heal our land. But if you notice from the name on our sign, it doesn't say Winnemac United Pentecostal Church. It says New Beginnings Family Fellowship, a United Pentecostal Church. Because I believe that's the nucleus of everything we do. Is it starts with a family. If we're going to save this country, and if we're going to see our dreams fulfilled, you know, I know what it was the day my son took me by the arm in his bedroom and he said, Daddy, let's go build a church. It wasn't my daddy that gave me that affirmation. It was my boy. He caught the vision of the dream when it was time. You see, where you really need to spread your vision and your dreams is with those that you have contact with every day. Those that can help you build it. My beautiful bride that's sitting there today that grabs my hand and prays with me and looks into this city and feels the burden that I feel to this city. You know, that wasn't always there. It started with me. She never even knew where this city was. She'd never driven through this city. I just happened to be working in this city and driving through it, and God began to deal with me. And you know what? It was my job to pass the burden on to her. And it was our job as a family then to cast the vision to our children of what could be. And here we are today because we dared to dream. We dared to challenge ourselves. We dared to push back against the onslaught of the devil that didn't want to see this church come into existence, that tempted us with other churches with $50,000-$60,000 in the bank and a paid for building that said, won't you come be our pastor? It was very difficult to sit in my pastor's office and say, Dad, but you don't understand. God didn't call me to that city. God called me to the city of Winnemac, and tears streamed down his face, and he looked into my eyes and said, son, are you really telling me you would walk away from that opportunity to go to a city where there is no church? I told him that is exactly what I'm going to do. Why? Because that's where the need is. That's where God has called us to be. And there's going to come a day we're going to look back. Those Sundays when we come into these doors and snow was blowing outside. It took us 2 hours to get to church and 4 hours to get home a couple of years ago. Busting drifts with a truck. Everybody else said, didn't you cancel? I said, no, we're too young to cancel. I said, what do you mean? I said, if we can't show them there's some consistency and those doors are going to be open, how do we ever think we're going to build a church? We've got to allow our vision and our dream of a church to be cast to the city now. We've got it in our family. Now we've got to cause the city to believe that there's going to be a lighthouse. There's going to be a place of refuge. There's going to be something bigger. There's going to be something that's not just here as a passing fad, but it's built to last. It's going to carry on for generation to generation. And there's going to be some young man someday that's going to come into this pulpit, and he's going to carry it farther than this preacher ever could have carried. He may preach my funeral someday, but you know what? I'm going to step into that pulpit every time I get a chance to cast a little vision to him, and I'll tell him, just dare to dream one more time. There's going to be Sundays that you're going to wonder why you do it. There's going to be moments that you wonder if anybody cares. There's going to be moments that you're going to wonder if we're going to pay the bills. But let me challenge you one more time to take this farther than you ever thought you could take it. Push it bigger than anybody any around you. They're going to say, oh, there could never be a church built in that city. Other men have tried and failed. I come to tell you, the devil is a liar. God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if it couldn't be done, that's the good opportunity for God to create a way for it to be done. It's very easy for me as a preacher to stand here and cast vision and say, yeah, we're going to build a church, when some of you sit here with lost families and children that don't go to church and loved ones that you want more than anything to be sitting here with you in the house of God. And sometimes it hurts, and I want to challenge you to think with me one more time. What happens if they lose the anchor that's sitting here today? What is going to provoke them? What's going to pull them? What's going to draw them? If you throw in the towel, sometimes you've got to challenge yourself one more day that says it's cold outside and it may be snowing on a 2017 February or March day, and you're going to say it'd be much easier just to cover up, drink a cup of coffee and go back to bed. Now let me ask you, how much do you believe in the dream? Or are you willing just to go back to sleep and pretend it doesn't exist? You see, Joseph dared to dream again. You know where he finally decided to dream again? Sitting in prison. Accused of rape when he didn't do it. That's a tough spot to be in. Somebody accusing you of something and you know you did what was right. Here you are, rotten in prison. But I want you to notice the hand of God, even in prison, that it elevated him to the top of the prison. You see, when you do what's right in God's eyes, God always comes out in the end. It always weighs out, and we don't understand it. But there came a day that Pharaoh come back and said, now I've got a dream, and I need somebody that knows a little bit something about dreams. You know what, mama? There's going to come a day that that daughter or that son's going to knock on your door and says, I've been wrestling for 2 weeks. I don't know where to turn, and I don't know what to do. I've got things running through my mind. I don't understand what all this is. You know what? They need a mama or a daddy to say, you know what, son? You know what, honey? That's God. He's knocking on your door. This is a window of opportunity that God has given you. And if you will do what's right, God will save your children. God will put your marriage back together again. God will pull you out of this drug-infested world. And he still wants to call you his child. You see, Pharaoh had that dream. He said, I don't understand it. I've been to the best of the best in my kingdom, and nobody can tell me what this dream is. You know what that is? That's a son or a daughter that's told mom or dad, don't bother coming back to my house. You just keep that religion somewhere else. I don't want to hear that Jesus mess anymore. Don't bother coming around me with that stuff. Just get away from me. I'll live my life the way I want. You live your life the way you live. You know what? It's okay just to walk away. It's okay, but just don't lose the dream. You may be separated in a prison walls that you can't control and unable to see them. You may not be able to see a grandchild or a grandson. And then the devil is rocking your world saying, if you would just go back and be what everybody else is, you could have that relationship again. You just hold on to that dream. Why? Because there's going to come a day. They're going to knock on that door and they're going to say, I've been to psychiatrists. I've been to doctors. I've been everywhere trying to get my answers met. And I can't understand how to get myself out of this world. And that's your opportunity to walk into the power of the Holy Ghost and tell you, I can tell you the prescription. The prescription is the thing you've been running from all your life. It's Jesus Christ. It's God manifest in the flesh that shed his blood on Calvary, robed himself in flesh so he could die for you. And now he's came so you could have life, and not just have life, but have it more abundantly. You see, with that interpretation of that dream, there came provision to save a multitude of people. This may seem a little odd to some of you, but I may be sitting here, standing here in front of you tonight, looking, and I don't know who it is. It may be the key to the biggest revival this area has ever seen. You know why? I'm an outsider. I'm a preacher that came to town to see people saved. It's very difficult sometimes for people to open up their lives to that preacher. But one of their own says, you know what? I believe. You know what? I believe in what's going on down there. You know what? When cars start filing in that little storefront church down there across from the courthouse, you know what? When they're hauling somebody in a squad car going to jail, you know what? They peek out the door. The last thing they see before they get to jail is a little storefront church that says, this is the place where you can put your family back together again. This is the place where, you know what? You can fall in love with a wife that you thought you hated. This is the place that you can wrap your arms around a child that's rejected you, but here is the place of salvation. This is the place that God created out of no place. It didn't look like a church when we came, but now, glory be to God, there's a lighthouse. Now there's a beacon of hope. There's a place where somebody can look and say, I think I can dream again. You see what happened to Joseph happens to us every day. Every day. But the difference is we don't have luxury just the same as Joseph. It's easy for us to read the story and see the handprint of God. And you know what? When your kids read back over some of those journals some of you probably keep in your bedrooms, they look over the old picture albums, many of your children will look back and say, wow, look at the handprint God on her life. You can follow it back. That move was very designed just for the kingdom of God. It didn't make sense to them at that time, but it did to God. But the difference is when you're standing up saying, I don't understand this. I ain't slept for 2 weeks. I don't get it. It don't make sense to me. We're not privy to the future. All we can do is dream. All we can do is have faith. All we can do is have hope. And all we can do is believe. You see, faith is the key element that can take a dream that turns into a nightmare that eventually becomes a reality. But in order to get to from point A to point C, sometimes you got to go through the tough times to see it happen. Something my uncle told me, which was a home missionary church, was a home missionary pastor. His son has started, is on his third home missions church, going to towns that had no church and building it. One of them was in a Mormon state in Nevada. Now he's in down by New Mexico, Arizona area. Mesquite, Nevada, I believe is where he's at now. He was here on our first Sunday. My uncle was. He's retired now. And he grabbed me. If it wasn't even then. We were sitting at my cabin. He was always a mentor in my life. We were sitting at my cabin and was sitting there, and I said, it's scary. I mean, we're at a church of nearly 200 people, and we're youth leaders, and we're one of the pastors, and we're moving and shaking what's going on in that church. It's to pick up my life and go to a city with nothing, that's kind of scary. And he said, but you can do it. If God called you, he'll make the way. He'll give the provision. He will make the path. He said, but there's one thing I'm going to tell you, son. I'll never forget. I was sitting there in that little lawn chair, and him and I were having a heart-to-heart. He reached over and he put his arm on my shoulder, and he said, son, don't ride the highs too high. Don't ride the lows too low. Just stay consistent, and God will come through every single time. If there's anything this preacher can lead with you today, is if you don't give up on the dream, God won't give up on you. If you're big enough to believe it, God's big enough to do it. It may not be in your time. It may not be the way you see it in your journal. But last time I checked, we don't live by our journal. We live by His. God's way is not our ways. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. His way of accomplishing things, some things, we would just wish He would come up, pick us up into the place. In our world, we would rather God would just take our children and just shake them out of the world, bring them into church on a Sunday afternoon, say, oh, Pastor, would you baptize me in Jesus' name? We baptize them in Jesus' name. They come out of the water blowing bubbles, and God fills them with the Holy Ghost right there in the tank, and they live for God ever after. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? And sometimes it happens that way. Thank God it does. Not everybody has to hit the bottom of the barrel to be saved. Praise the Lord. Sometimes God's got to take them through some tough places and be there in the storm. You see, God didn't make the storm just to punish them. They chose the storm. They could have avoided the storm. Usually those storms come because of the way they're living. Most of us remember the storms we've been through. Many of them we brought on our own selves, whether they're financial or physical or spiritual. Whether the things we did in our past that come back to haunt us later in years, there are a lot of things that we do that bring those storms on ourselves. But isn't it nice when you're in the middle of the storm that you find that little soft voice that says, I know you're here, and I watched you walk into it, and I knew you were going to be here, so I'm right here waiting on you. If you'll just hold my hand and just grab a grip onto my hand and just follow me, we're going to get through this thing. It don't look like it right now, but just hang on. Because there's joy coming in the morning. There's another side to this storm, and you're going to make it through. What? All I'm saying is, don't lose your dream in the middle of the storm when the children are going through it and life is caving in on you. Don't throw in the towel. That's time to one more time to go back and revisit the dream and dare to dream again. Sometimes when life shakes us, it's very easy for us to begin to question. And all I can say is, there's nothing wrong with talking to God. There's been some days that me and God had some long conversations, some long nights. Sometimes I feel like Jacob when I come up. I didn't feel the same after me and God had some of them conversations. But usually by the end of the night, I saw it God's way. There's nothing wrong with asking God those tough questions. But just remember in those conversations, He's still God. I'm still flesh. He knows the end from the beginning. I just know right now. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. In those moments of questioning and talking to God, remember it's a conversation. And sometimes we want to talk to God and we want to just give Him the what for. Anybody ever been there? Am I the only one that's really looked at God and said, God, what are you doing this for? This don't make any sense, God. You stop, at least give me a little light today. I don't get this. You imagine sitting in the bottom of a pit, in the dungeon. My Bible says his feet were chained, his arms were chained, and he was where the king's prisoners went. That's the bottom of the bottom. How would you like to have been on some of them conversations? Joseph began to look at God and said, I don't get this. I don't understand this. Sometimes God looks back at us and he says, you don't have to understand it. You just got to trust me. It's not in my plan for you to understand everything, because if you understood everything, you'd be God and I wouldn't be. But as long as you know you need me and you can trust me, everything's going to be right. Let's all stand. If you want to grab the glasses. So today, I don't know where everybody's walk with God is. Some of you I've only met just for a moment here today. And for those of all that are guests, we say thank you for coming today and taking your afternoon to be with us. It means a lot to us. It really does. And you may not know us, but if there's anything as a church that we can do to help you, we will. So I have one policy as a pastor here at this church, and I've told many of you this. That is simply this. It's my job, my wife's job, to help you make it to heaven. We're not the Holy Ghost police. We're not the ones that are road traffic cops to heaven. We're the guy that comes along when you got a flat. We just help you change the tire and get you back on the road again. We're the one when you're lost that you can come to. This is, I've been driving for days and I don't know where this place is. Could you just help me? Yeah. Absolutely. That's our job. And as a church and as a people, for us to make it to heaven, we need those kinds of people. Don't these children look wonderful? That's called life in a church right there, isn't it? That's called life in a church. We've got one more class coming out. I wonder if we could bow our heads here today as the adult class. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, I've spoken very directly, very precisely to this adult class here today. I've challenged our thinking. I've challenged our minds, God, and I've provoked us, God, and I did it on purpose today under the anointing of your power and your spirit, because I feel some of us, God, need to challenge ourselves a little bit. We need to We need to provoke our minds a little bit. We need to go back and pull up some of those things that you've had anointing upon our lives for a long time. But sometimes we've let those things die. We've let them kind of to drift off into never, never land. When really you want to use us. You want to challenge us. You want to push us. You want to pull us up to that next place in you, God. But sometimes we don't feel like we have it. We don't feel like we are capable. And I agree with them. I didn't feel like I was capable to do what the task that you put me in, God. But it seems like you make the way every single time. You open the doors every single time. You provide the financing every single time. And it seems like, God, if I can cause these people to believe one more time, to stretch themselves in the Holy Ghost, God, that it's not out of question that their children will be saved. The door is not closed to ministry. The door is not closed to them being used in the kingdom of God. There is still time. There is still a place. There is still a need. There is still an avenue, God, for you to use them in the kingdom of God. But I must cause them to believe more than anything, to hang on to the dream, to latch on to that place where you have caused them to stretch into a deeper place and never lose sight of it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.